great to be with you guys again. You glad to be back after 2 weeks away? I was thinking just yesterday and preparing to come, how important it is for us to gather together. And again, that the focus not be about what happens here, but that it be a nice diving board into what happens at the tables. If you're a first-time guest with us here, first time you've been here, really this is just a men's group that gathers to help us grow in our relationship with God. Nothing more, nothing less. That's pure and simple what it's about. And so I'm glad that you're here. If we've been studying this life of David and becoming a man after God's own heart. And these books are available. If you want to kind of read along with what's going on, the first chapter is going to be covered next week by Dave DuBois. And so they're $10 a piece in the back there. And again, if there's more, if these get purchased. But Man After God's Own Heart, Jim George, a guy who's devoted his life to men's ministry. And I think you'll enjoy that book. I'm really going to kind of just kick off the second semester here, and as we've been talking about, the basics of how we grow spiritually, becoming a man of character. We all have to go back and understand that the talks that we've had already this far are about how to become a better dad through understanding David. But moving forward, we're going to build upon those things that we learned from David's life and practically think about that. How can I become more diligent as a worker? How can I become more diligent with my spouse? What does God expect of me in relationship to my local church? And how can I do a better job reaching the world with what God's impacting me with? How is He impacting me in such a way that it impacts others? So I encourage you with that, and buy a book if you so desire. Would you take a pen or your paper there for just a second? And I want to start with this question. Have you ever said in reference to something that you were pursuing or doing in your life, man, I'm giving 100% to that? Or how many of you have used that cliche, man, I'm giving 110%. Okay, I'm giving it all I got. Well, here's what I want you to do real briefly. Go back to age 10. Everybody? Age 10. And I want you to give me one word. I'm going to give you about 45 seconds. I want you to write out from age 10 to right now, one word descriptions of your pursuits from age 10 to now. In other words, what was receiving your best energy at age 10? So mine was soccer. Age 10, soccer was getting my best energy. Then there was a season where basketball received my best energy. Then there was a season where girls received my best energy. You see where I'm going? So you take 45 seconds, and I want you to write down what received your 100% energy from age 10 to right now. Go. Just a few seconds left. All right, here's how my list went. Soccer, basketball, girls, schoolwork, girls, college, God. Came to know God my freshman year in college. I really had known a lot of facts about God, but I never put it all together, never came to the place where I accepted Christ as my personal Savior until I was 18 years old in the month of November 1982. Knew a lot of facts. Knew about God, but never came to that moment of decision. And I challenge every one of you, if you've never come to a place of decision, maybe you've been coming to huddle all year, maybe you've been coming for several years, and you never come to the place in your relationship with God where you signed on, do so. This 2010 is your year, and I want to lay that challenge out, because that's what this huddle is all about, helping men come to know a real and vibrant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But after that, after coming to know God, it was girls again. The girl. My wife Stacy, who I began dating at the end of my freshman year. Later then, marriage, career, house, fatherhood, career again. And then my wife, because we'd gotten lost in the early shuffle like it happens to a lot of guys. You get focused on once you get the girl and you think, oh, okay, that'll take care of itself. Most of us have learned it doesn't just run on autopilot, does it? So in response to that, it was again focusing on what it needs to be a husband. And then God again. What my point is in this is that we can only give so much energy to something and pursue it. We all only have a limited space of time, energy, and effort. So in response to that, we have to be careful what we really pursue. Because we can't pursue everything realistically at 110%. Does that make sense? It sounds good. It looks good when you're talking to your boss. Man, I'm giving it 110%. Yeah, come on. But what we can do is get caught up in not pursuing things that drain our energy in our life. We have to have a few focuses in life. If not, you might get caught up, and we all have gotten caught up into what Joe Stoll's book was a few years ago, Perilous Pursuits. And my guess is, if you look down your list as I looked on mine, there were a few things that were really, I could check off and say, you know what, that really was a perilous pursuit. It was a waste of my 100%. We've studied in David's life. And the thing that we have continued to come back after is, man, this guy was a man's man. He was a warrior. He was the kind of man that every one of us should, in so many areas of his life, emulate. I mean, he was a guy who really wanted to be right with God. He, from the very earliest time of, as a young kid, he followed God with a heart. He was out and caring for the sheep, the father's family business, and in the midst of that, he killed a lion and a bear. He later killed a giant named Goliath. He became a hero. He became a great friend to Jonathan. We've talked about all these things. He spent some time in the wilderness when he was being chased and there had some real enemies. And then he continued to rise to power, and God used him in a powerful way in the early time in Judah and Israel. And then we all know, and Randy Blankenship did such an incredible job talking to us about some of the things that have detracted from David's life. The whole situation with Bathsheba, taking another man's wife and murdering the man and then covering it up. David confessed and God restored him. And that's where we all stand, really, in that cycle of confession and restoration. There's not a man here that maybe your thing wasn't David's thing, but every one of us have come to grips with the fact that as a result of our lives, it's been that cycle of confession and restarting, if you will. To fill in the blank, if you're one of those that really wants those blanks filled in, I just want to make this one point this morning. David taught us by his life that great sacrifice equals great reward. Great sacrifice equals great reward. I want you to listen again to a couple of the things that tell us where David's heart was. If we want to have a heart that like his, we're going to have to hear what it means to be a godly man. Listen to what he said. Psalm 105, verse 3 and 4. Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. Psalm 119, 9 and 10 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. And then his son Solomon wrote this as it relates to pursuing wisdom in Proverbs 8 and verse 17. I love those who love me, wisdom here's talking, and those who seek me diligently find me. Guys, if you were to boil down in your own life what you're really pursuing, what's swirling around and going on in your life? What is the core that drives you for the 100%? Becoming a man after God's own heart is realizing that only one thing can really possess the core of your being. Only one thing. Look back at your perilous pursuits. When you were pursuing something with reckless abandon, where was it taking you? Only one thing. That's why the Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do. Jesus said of himself, I came not to minister, to be ministered, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. We can just do one thing, really, at a time. Now, certainly there's going to be other things that support that. But if we're going to be men of integrity, and you know what integrity means? Oneness. Wholeness. If we're going to be men of integrity, oneness, we have to have singular focus. And I believe God has created every man here to have one singular focus, to pursue Him. If God is the pursuit of our lives, and that everything that we think about, we do, we respond to, we ask God, how is that impacting my understanding of what Your will for my life is? Don't you think our lives are going to be better ordered if that's the primary question? If 100% in every area, now we still have to work, we still have to be a parent, we still have to care for our relationships and our neighborhoods, we still have to do all of those things. But if the centralizing influence is God and His pursuit, then what are we going to do? Well, there's some things this passage tells us. Let me give them to you quickly. Number one, we're going to seek to know the name of God. We're going to seek to know God's name. From the very beginning, He began to unfold Himself to mankind. To Moses, He said in Exodus 3, I am. This eternal sense of being, and you and I have to sense this. Listen, if I'm going to understand that life is not about my doing, but my being, I better know the I am who forever can help me be. We get caught up in the doing. God wants you to be who He wants you to be. He created you to be something. It's not your job. It's not what you have. It's not who you love. It's not who's in your life. God wants you to be who He created you to be. I am. We're going to seek His praise over ours. Until we get that sense of things, we can't live with genuine humility. Until we know it's all of Him and not of us. When we take just one shred of it and act like it's us, we take away from what God's doing in us. We're going to seek His strength. You and I are going to realize, listen, if I don't have God's strength, I got nothing. If I don't have His strength to lift me up day by day, how are you going to do what God's expect you to do? The task is daunting for every one of you. The pressures are real, the financial, the pressures of who you ought to be, and each of you in your jobs and responsibilities or looking for a job or wherever you're at. It's daunting. If you don't have God's strength, where are you going to draw from? His presence in your life, that you know that, man, you're not forsaken, that God's not left you out on your own, you just figured out on your own way, but that God's presence is with you. But we need to seek His purity. Unless I'm holy, I have no power, no boldness. Unless my life is what it ought to be, continually growing into likeness of Jesus Christ, my life has leaks in it. And the leaks will rob me and you of power. And we're going to seek His input. That's why we go back over and over again to the Word of God. We're going to seek His input. And then we're going to really seek Him diligently. That means it's the one thing, 100%. I'm giving my total focus to saying, God, what do You want in all these other areas of my life that we're going to talk about the rest of this year? You can't order them aright until you get the first thing first. But when the passion is the right direction to the Lord, and His pursuits become our greatest pursuit, then we will know what God intends for us. But I don't know about you. I've already learned from David's life, and I've noticed in my life I have the same tendency. Does your life get a little sideways in that pursuit? Yeah, it does. You're heading towards one ditch or the other all the time. Your life gets sideways. And is David's his got sideways? So we come to these things of how do I continually stay at this restoration process? And I'm going to have you go back and read this whole chapter, and I'm not going to explain the story, but 2 Samuel 24, David got sideways again. In this situation, God, He said what a lot of kings would say, hey, let's number the people to see how we're doing. Let's take a count. God said, don't number the people. Well, we all would know. I mean, counting people is about image. Right? We want to manage. Okay, how are we doing? What's the scorecard? And we all do it every day. We have to. It's how we run our businesses. It's how we're involved in those things. There's a scorecard. But the challenge as it comes to God and His scorecard, God doesn't judge that way. And what He says is, look, don't number the people. I don't want you to think that the strength of you as a king is about how many people are coming, how many people are here. David went ahead and did it anyway, and as a result, you can tell the rest of the story, it cost them something. In fact, it cost Israel 70,000 men who died because of David's poor decision. David realizes it again, though, just as he had with the situation with Bathsheba. He confesses his sin and he says, God, I've got to make this right. And here's what I want us to know about David's life. He continually, as a man after God's own heart, was getting sideways in one direction or another, just like you and I. As we were praying, just coming in, Brother Dave prayed, Lord, how much our lives are like David, and he's exactly right. Our lives are all just like his. We continue to get off track. But the great thing about David's life, and it shows us what you and I can do, is this. David's son, who watched his father David, who knew of all of this, said this in Proverbs, a righteous man falls seven times, yet rises again. But the wicked man is ruined in the day of calamity. You know what makes the difference in whether you're really a wicked man at heart or a righteous man at heart? How many times you get back up after you fail. That's the only difference. The only difference. Now my guess is, if you look at your pursuits in the last week, every one of us could say, you know what? In the last 2 weeks, I've done a few things I regretted. Anybody sinned in the last 2 weeks? Anybody said something they shouldn't say? Anybody like to take back or change a decision that you've made? Anybody gotten a little sideways in your walk with God? Well, yeah, it's kind of a rhetorical question. The obvious answer is sure we have. Yes. My challenge to us all is that we live with no excuse for cheap grace and saying, okay, well, you know, hey, that's the way God is, but He'll forgive me, so I'm going to go ahead and do this. That's not the attitude. But that says, God, my heart is for You. I want my heart to be for You. And when I sense myself getting sideways, help me to have the spiritual sense to allow the Word of God and the men of God and the people of God in my life to jerk a knot in my tail and help me see it clearly. Let me share with you how one young girl who was looking at the life of her father expressed it to her father and was recently shared with me. Just a note, Dad, to say how much I love you and admire everything you are and do. You've been such a constant to me throughout my life, and I learn so much every day by watching your passion for the Lord and people. So don't screw it up. Men, there are people who are counting on our lives. There are people who are watching Huddle. There are people who are saying, man, what do you guys go do that and get together? I can't tell the difference in your life yet. We all get a little sideways. God's counting on us to have a heart for Him. So let's get back up and make it right. Make it right with God day after day, and make it right with the people that are impacted by your screw-ups. Because unfortunately, this young lady knows the propensity in every human being, even somebody you love. They have a propensity for screwing it up, as do each of us. Let me remind you with this one last thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But whoever would come to God, whoever would draw near to God, must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. God rewards those who seek Him. So we embark upon this new year. And I challenge us. What is my commitment for this coming year? What am I going to pursue at 100%? What's going to get my best energy? One closing thought. William Booth, in his marvelous work with the Salvation Army, he was the founder in the 1800s, was motivated by a conviction. And he wrote it in the autobiography of the album of King Edward the seventh, these words. Some men's ambition is art, and some men's ambition is fame. Some man's ambition is gold. My ambition is the souls of men. My brothers, the mission of Huddle is the souls of men. Too much is at stake. God's done too many good things in this, our sixth year, to use this to accomplish His great work. We can only, as an organization, a group of guys that come together, not as an organization, but this is a group of guys that come together on Wednesday, be successful as we continue to do one thing: seek and pursue God. And I challenge each of us, as you think about your life, your pursuits today, of what should receive 100% in your life. God's given us the great opportunity. Don't screw it up. God, I thank You for Your provision for us. Help us. Strengthen us. Help us when we screw it up to make it right with You. In Your name I pray. Amen.